happiness.
Welcome to Vinyl Verdict. I'm Bell.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Floof.
And this is our first recorded episode in 2024. Welcome to the new year.
Welcome
to the new year. It's actually our second episode of the new year, though.
Is it?
Nah. Is it?
Oh, yeah, because Songs of Innocence came out.
No, on the 31st?
That came out on New Year's Eve, didn't it?
Oh, perfect. Our first
one. Oh, wait, no, that's a Sunday. So it came out.
Either way, this is the first one of the year, yeah. Probably. If it's a six, I guess, if it's been a week.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we're recording this on release day. This is again, two in the weeds. Either way, stay tuned to the end. We're going to talk about some of the music we listened to last year, some standouts, our Spotify raps, as well as maybe some stuff about the podcast Wrapped. It's cool. Podcast. But this, right now, we're Wrapped. Talking about Jamie's pick.
Ray Charles, Modern Sounds in Country and Western Music.
Volume 1.
Volume 1. Well, okay, so when this album came out, there was no Volume 2. So it's just Modern Sounds in Country and Western Music.
And was
but
it
they
both
still
of them?
Called it Part 1, like the Kinks, Lola, and Power Man. He's like, there's going to be a Part 2.
So this album was successful, so they released a Volume 2.
Oh.
So
is it a collection?
Yeah, they're all covers.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why it's Modern Sounds in Country.
But is this a compilation album, or was this released as...
This was released as...
And it was popular, so they made a Volume 2.
They made a Volume 2, which was released later in the year. Yeah.
So these are all covers?
Yeah.
Every last one of them.
That's why some of them probably sound familiar.
Familiar.
Even though, and like, it's Ray Charles.
Hey, Good Looking doesn't sound familiar.
I've never listened to Ray Charles. I've never listened to...
Never listened to Hank Williams before? Bye Bye
Love?
By accident?
No. Never these.
Okay.
Listen, I'm only... under 30.
I'm only human.
I know, but like some
know.
Of these
I wasn't
are
born in the 60s.
Okay. All right,
it's true you weren't.
I remember swing that. Dance. I know Jamie used to swing dance.
So the Jamie lore continues to grow.
But why'd you pick this album? What's so special about it?
I didn't know about this album until I watched a series on PBS during the pandemic called
Ray.
I watched a documentary series by Ken Burns called Country Music, which was a history from the 1920s to modern day about the evolution of country music.
So you just skipped the last like 20 years, right? You just shut the documentary off?
The last 20 years of country music is just rock music.
Yeah. Well, it was a PBS documentary, so it's already 30 years old.
Yeah, it's actually kind of interesting. So it was an 8-part series. I really enjoyed it. I didn't have much of appreciation for country music growing up in the country because I was mostly sick of it by then. But I enjoyed it. And one of the episodes talks about the evolution of country music in the 60s. And that's where Ray Charles comes in, because they talked about this album and how it caused a tonal shift in the sound of country music from more of like a bluegrass or like a banjo picking style associated with like hillbillies and stuff like that to a more formal style of music that was distinct from rock music, but also distinct from pop and jazz. So that was how I got into this album. I bought it. I didn't buy this album long ago. I think I bought this album last year.
Yeah, it looks shiny and new.
Yeah, it's basically a brand new. So the copy I bought is the version that has both volumes in it. But we're only going to listen to the first volume today, which I think is the better of the two volumes anyway.
I didn't listen to Volume 2, so
volume
I'll take
the
word for it.
Volume 2 is fine.
I got a couple songs in, and I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. I don't have to listen to this.
It's more. if you like this album, Volume 2 is more of it.
Yeah. Sure.
So
yeah, I was surprised when I heard the album name, because I don't know anything about Ray Charles. I never watched a movie, never listened to a song knowingly. But I was like, isn't he a piano player?
He's
like,
a blind
jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's blind, but that doesn't matter about playing country music. But I was like, country and Western music. Interesting.
Yeah.
And it's not super country that I would have assumed.
No.
Really? See, this is like very much country that I'm like kind of used to or familiar with. Is this like classic country kind of?
The songs are classic country.
Yeah.
But they're done in a way that isn't.
Well, it was like, what, 1961 or something?
Two, yeah.
Yeah, 1962. So they're not even that, like, modern country. Like, this is a lot more similar to the kind of country that I like.
Well, it does say modern sounds.
It's modern for the time. Modern for the time. But yeah, I was surprised because, he's a piano man, but then he doesn't, like, overdo that.
No.
In any of the songs, which was very nice, actually.
Yeah, and some of them I might have wanted more piano.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Ray Charles is kind of a fascinating artist. I wrote kind of an essay because I was off and I had some time I'm not going to read the whole thing up, but by the time this album came out, Ray Charles had already completed one music contract with Atlantic Records that started in 1952 and ended in 1961 and spawned 11 albums. So by the time this album came out, he had already released a great number of music. He released more albums than the Beatles did in their entire career in 10 years. So this album is kind of interesting because it is part of what we would call the album era. Most of Ray Charles's work before this album came out was piecemeal singles. And this is really one of the first albums he put out that is just designed as an album to be listened to front to back. His new contract started in 1960, and by the time this album came out, he'd already completed four albums with that. So this is really his 15th or perhaps 16th album. Ray Charles' discography is kind of weird. He has like something like 400 albums if you look at it.
Jeez.
But a lot of them are just his early work re-released by different record labels. And there's a lot of compilation albums, but his like albums... Like if you want to call them like of original music, he has about 70 albums. Oof. Before he died in 2003.
That's crazy.
So from 1952 to 2003, he released 70 albums, or maybe like one and a half a year. Or something.
That's funny.
Like
I thought all these were originals, and I was like, boom, this guy talks about love and heartbreak too much. And I was like, 70 albums of love and heartbreak. I'd be like, all right, man.
No,
I don't think love is for you, man. Stop going after taken women and be like, I'm better than him, I think. I don't know. Like, I don't get it.
This album is sort of unique in his oeuvre of music, if you will, in that it's not original music. This is all covers. So in 1961, he approached his record label and friends and the fellow that produced his album and said, I want to release country music, but I want to do it my way. And everyone told him it was a bad idea. Everyone he talked to said it was a bad idea. And this mostly had to do with how country music was predominantly a genre for white folks.
Yeah.
And in 1961, there was a lot of racial tensions. There was a riot in New Orleans because they unsegregated the schools. It led to four black students being led to school by U.S. Marshals for a period of time. And then they people protested at the school board for a good amount of time. And every one of the people you talked to said, you know, taking a spin on country music, it might not be the right time. But he decided that this would be a test of his new contract, which gave him pretty much carte blanche artistic freedom. So he said, I'm going to do it anyway.
Cool.
And then this is the album that came out. So, the producer of this album handed him a tape of 250 tracks that he had compiled of various country music staples, and Ray picked the 12 that he wanted to do a cover of.
Do you think he listened to all of them?
I think he did, probably.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I guess there's not much to do in the 60s.
There's not much to do, especially like, you can't play if you're
Fortnite,
blind.
So you're just like, oh,
yeah, you can't play Fortnite, music. Right? You could play Fortnite if you wanted to. I mean,
he said it before.
I can't believe he played 250 of those songs and chose
these 12? Yeah.
That sound exactly the same.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He probably, they sound kind of different.
No.
They're a little different.
Country music is interesting. Like we call it like hurting music, right?
Yeah,
like, it's about
calls it hurting music.
It's a lot of blues.
I'd say like jeans and tractor music.
Well, yeah, but that's modern garbage.
That's modern country.
That's like
music.
Modern, proper, contemporary, modern country.
Yeah, modern country music is about like how macho you are. As
I got a
man.
Beer and a big up truck, and my wife
driving.
And
my wife is scared of me.
Yeah,
yeah. Country music of this time is a lot about loss. Like how hard your upbringing was.
Like Neil Young, that song about being in a cabin in Ontario.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought this album was kind of interesting. It was recorded over 3 days in February 1962 and released at the end of the month. So, three sessions, you got all the orchestration done. And then he ended up winning the Grammy for I Can't Stop Loving You the next year. So it was an immediate success. I found it kind of interesting. So it kind of set the tone for the way country music would evolve.
Yeah.
It is wildly influential to other country music artists. For example, Willie Nelson cites it as a turning point in his career.
Definitely him. Loretta Lynn,
sure.
Glenn Campbell,
yeah.
Dolly Parton,
absolutely.
Like a lot of 70s and late 60s artists sound a lot like stuff that is played here. And
certainly.
So
yeah.
To me, like this is orchestral classic country
stuff.
Yeah.
Jamie, you have a Glenn Campbell album, don't you?
Yes, you just handed me several of them
today.
Glenn Campbell was a session musician that branched out on his own. Yeah, Glenn Campbell plays on dozens of hit records.
Learn more. Several weeks from now, when Jamie picks
the Wichita Lineman album.
Yeah, I think I like this more than I thought I would. I don't know if I really had high expectations. Just the word country,
sure,
and Western music. I was like, well, this isn't gonna be for me, but it isn't what I thought. For better and for worse, I think it would have been interesting to listen to an older Western country album. But sure. If it's not like this, who knows if I would have liked it. But it is funny, jazz music or jazzy music has such a Christmas vibe. There are a few of these. I was
really?
Like, this is kind of seasonal.
I associate this a lot with, or a lot of the songs on here, with Fallout New Vegas. Because I had some mods that were like radio packs of extra songs, country songs from like the 60s and 70s. And so a lot of these were on there, like Bye Bye Love and Love You So Much It Hurts and a couple others. And so for me, a lot of this was like bringing back a bunch of memories from like, what, 2010 or 12 or something? Whenever New Vegas was kind of big.
It's Big Iron.
Yeah.
With big iron on his hip. That iron. Album always sells out so fast. Marty Robbins or whatever his name is. Yeah. Man, I want it so bad.
Gunfighter Ballads and something.
Yeah.
But see, like,
it's such a good album cover.
Those are good country songs. Like country and Western music can be like really awesome. It can be fun.
I don't know if I'd listen to 40 minutes of that, though.
No?
No.
Oh, I totally
I'll listen to 40 minutes of that one song.
Big Iron.
With the Big Iron on his hip.
Big Iron. Big Iron.
Yeah, I don't know. It was pretty good. Yeah. Enjoyed it.
Cliff, what'd you think?
I rather enjoyed it. I did not expect it to be a compilation of covers. I thought it was just going to be like Ray Charles making some country music because I'd never heard it before.
Mm.
And I was pleasantly surprised. And then, like I said before, I was also surprised by the fact that, you know, he's a piano man. I expected a lot more piano, but it's usually in the background.
I love how you keep calling him a piano man.
Billy Joel.
He's a piano
man. He's a piano man.
He is the piano man.
He is the piano man. Yeah.
Sing me the song of the piano man.
But he's mostly a singer on the album,
yeah.
I think, more than anything else. And I actually really enjoyed it because I've always enjoyed his voice. He's got a great voice. And
it's very rich.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it.
Right.
It's not raspy. It's thick.
He's got some pretty good talent, and it's evident on a couple songs. And I like the backup singers. Like, I don't know. I just kind of like the whole thing.
Backup singers killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good.
Sometimes there's a chorus.
The
Raclettes?
What are they called? The Rackets?
The Rayettes? The Rayettes?
Oh,
the
I didn't check.
Raylettes.
I didn't know. Was...
He got impregnated one of them when he was cheating on his wife.
Crazy.
Yeah, like, I love
Ray Charles, not a good person.
No.
Yeah, when I looked at it, I was like, wow, he did a lot of drugs. He has like 12 children with 10 different women. Most of them, there was like a lot of children while he was still married to like this woman. And I was like, wow, okay.
The movie Ray paints him in a pretty bad light, but justly so.
Yeah.
You had to watch it.
Ray Charles, not the best human being. Musical genius, perhaps.
Yeah.
He released several albums that were called The Genius Of, or...
Yeah.
His last album is called Genius Loves Company, which is a compilation of covers with other people.
That's genius.
Cool.
I was going to say that's genius.
Yeah, that's cool.
Feels
too
on the nose.
Idea.
But yeah, that's very cool. I'll give him that. But yeah, I was very surprised about his upbringing, his life, his hard, hard life.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't even really clean up as he got famous because obviously he's had more access to things.
Yeah.
And then, surprised he died in 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I expect him to move longer or shorter. I was just like, huh.
That's an age.
When you release albums in the 60s, I feel like you're already in your 30s. So it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he was very young when he got into music. In the mid-40s, I want to say.
Yeah, a lot of artists are, right? Like, a lot of artists start when they're, like, 18.
And he wasn't blind. He wasn't born blind.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was born blind at, like, 7. He had, like,
glaucoma or something as a child. I didn't know that. That's crazy. Yeah.
I learned a lot of Ray facts.
Yeah.
The article, so we talked about how the article for Sergeant Pepper's is long and in depth. This is an also in long and in depth article
about
this album. But Ray Charles, very interesting musical figure, frequent guest star on Sesame Street. But perhaps not.
Lots of PBS facts today. Hey?
Yeah, PBS, great station. Great, good
support
stuff.
PBS. Well, should we get one last listen?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know I love you so, much.
Much too much.
It hurts me. Since we've been apart,
but I can't stop loving you.
Hey, sweet baby, don't you think maybe we could find us a brand new recipe?
Wow, what an album.
Bye, love.
This is originally a hit for the Everly Brothers in 1957.
What a great energy to start the album.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I love just the horns starting things off.
It's a very big bandy sounding song.
Yeah. I adore the chorus sung by the backup singers. I love the piano.
You know, it sounds happy.
Yeah.
But it's sad.
Yeah, it's real sad.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, his baby is with someone new. She sure looks happy. I sure am blue.
Just say that exact same line for every song that comes up.
Basically.
Yeah, you know, I like the shorter length. It stays fast and fresh. It made me want to listen to it right away. I want to listen to it again. That was great. The lyrics are basic, but it doesn't feel like it has to be any more than that because it's just like a short, dancey song.
Yeah,
I guess really, people going nuts to this, and you know, 60 years ago.
Really sure. Catchy chorus, too.
Yeah, it... believe it or not, this was not a single from the album, although it did get radio play.
Should have been.
Yeah. It's one of the better songs on the album, indeed.
Hmm.
I don't know. I thought it was a good introduction to the album. You kind of know what you're getting into immediately. You're kind of getting into an orchestral or jazz cover of, you know, various country songs. I don't know if
this one,
the Everly Brothers, is so much a country song. It's like a country rock song.
Yeah, and this felt more jazzy in general to me.
Yeah, indeed.
I didn't. So I was actually questioning like the whole country vibe, but you really get it a lot later on.
Mm.
Just doesn't open too hard with it.
You don't know me.
Friend zoned again.
Yeah. this one's like the guy didn't really get friend zoned. He was too afraid to approach this girl.
Yeah.
He let her walk off with another guy anyway.
Oh, I'm just a friend. That's all I've ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not so sad that I couldn't listen to it outside of being in a bad mood and wanting to continue being in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of just like a nicer, slower song. The ethereal backup singers they have such an interesting sound to them,
yeah,
where it's like almost ghastly. Yeah. It's like a little spooky. Weird.
I like
but
it.
But it's good.
I like the strings on this one. The strings are beautiful. Very pretty.
They just kind of fill everything out in the background throughout most of the track really well.
This one feels a little bit longer. It is a minute longer than the last song, so maybe that's just it. It's like going from a short song to a longer one. I'm like, oh yeah.
The song went to number 2. And it's featured in the movie Groundhog Day, which is one of my favorites.
Ah.
I haven't seen that movie in ages.
Oh, it's so good. It's a great movie. It's coming up. Groundhog Day is coming up.
Is it?
Is it?
I don't know.
When it's always February?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney, yeah.
Wyerton Willie back home. Yeah.
I like the nice light percussion and the bass that kind of picks up just a little bit in the last third or so.
Yeah, the bass is kind of cool on it. It's obviously an upright bass.
Yeah,
right?
It's a stand-up bass.
The song was originally written by Eddie Arnold and Cindy Walker, and it was performed by Eddie Arnold in 1955.
Cool. Yeah, very
pretty.
Which
was also a hit. But it is, if you listen to the original version, it is very much a country song.
Half as much.
Half as much. If you love me. half as much as I love you, Plouffe.
Yeah, wow. Man. Bummer song again about showing someone affection and kind of receiving it when you're alone as soon as there's other people getting roasted.
Yeah.
Oof.
Toxic. Oof. I really like the brass.
Yeah. I thought it had a really nice instrumental break.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little brass break.
Yeah, I really like the instrumental break, especially because the other breaks have been pretty short. Yeah. I like how this one's a bit longer. I like how it was also right before the final outro verse instead of like the midway point, like a lot of songs do, where it's like the halfway point, there's an instrumental. This one's like
three quarters
long instrumental,
so.
Last little bit over. I was like, oh, perfect. Yeah. I got to really enjoy that instrumental break.
It's got another great standing bass, like kind of plodding along in the background.
Yeah, it kind of sets a pace, yeah.
And then I wrote that Ray's pretty good at carrying out those like long notes and then ending them quietly with a bit of vibrato. He's got a really nice voice. I really like his singing.
Yeah, his voice sounds very smooth on this one. This song was written by Curly Williams in 1951. And
the Stooges?
Yes, Curly and Moe.
That's only
this
two.
This song was recorded by Hank Williams. Yeah, I know, right? This song was recorded by Hank Williams in 1952. This is the best known... Hank Williams' version is the best known version
good
of the song.
Good old Hank Williams.
Hank Williams is the, the grandfather of most modern country music, I guess. He's wildly influential.
I love you so much it hurts.
Yeah, I love you so much it hurts me.
Yeah.
Hurts me, Plouffe.
It's got more great backing vocals, especially when they're just kind of vocalizing and not singing.
Yeah, I like the kind of call and answer, or like I guess just repetition. The string intro is beautiful. It's a lovely song.
Yeah.
I bounce between being like this is too cheesy, but I think it stays in the land of being charming.
Yeah,
where I'm like, okay, this is kind of charming.
Yeah, this guy is lovesick.
Sick.
he's sick. The song was written by Floyd Williams in 1948.
Thank you, Floyd.
I thought this had a nice chorus, or like a chorus thing, like where the singers are singing around 220. That was really pretty.
Yeah, This is one of the ones I definitely added to the Fallout sound pack because I've heard it so many times.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a pretty little song. And then we get another fast one.
Just a Little Lovin' Will Go a Long Way.
Yeah, this is another song written by Eddie Arnold, but it was written in 1948.
I don't like train beats. And so, like, the next few songs I don't really enjoy because it's just like chug, ka chug, ka chug, ka chug, ka chug. And I don't like that.
Oh, okay.
It's not a bad song. Like, I enjoyed it more when I wasn't actively listening because then you don't really notice the beat so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I was like actively listening to it, I was like, no, I don't like this beat.
I wrote that it was some nice upbeat jazz. I really like his singing. He really knows how to add extra inflection in all the right parts. Especially on like subsequent choruses to kind of keep them interesting. So I noticed a few times he doesn't like sing it twice the exact same way. And I like how subtle the piano is on this one. It's barely on and he's just mostly singing.
This is another song that's been covered to death. There's a number of popular versions of this song. It was first covered by Bing Crosby. Dean Martin does a version of it. And Eddie Fisher, who's the father of Carrie Fisher.
Oh, that's cool.
Princess Leia does a version of this song.
Princess Leia does a version of this song?
No, Eddie Fisher does.
Oh.
Her papa.
Pop.
Papa.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. Like, I can understand why you don't like a little driving beat. Was this one of the singles? It was not. It was not one of the singles. But it's okay. Born to Lose. I like this song. Oh.
I think it's some nice classic country.
Yeah,
I wish modern country was more croony blues with a plodding beat, kind of like this song. Instead, for the most part, it's devolved into something else entirely, and I just don't like it anymore. It's got a fantastic bit with the backing vocals around two-thirds in, and then again at the end where they all kind of carry the outro out. It's pretty good.
It's kind of a nice ballad, right? So this song was written in 1942. It remained on the Billboard Hillbilly chart, which is what the country chart was called at the time, for 82 weeks during the war. So the song was popular for 82 weeks originally. And what I thought was interesting about Ray's version is that it's set to the same melody as the original version, but it's like orchestral instead of being played on, you know, banjos and guitars and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's much more dramatic than the original version as well, but I really liked it. And it's the end of side one.
Yeah, this song's okay. I don't know if I listen to it much. His voice is beautiful.
Like, yeah.
100%. The chorus is very, it's great. It just feels like it has that train chugga-chugga beat, just sure. slower. And it's, I don't feel like it has enough going on to really keep me engaged. So it's like, yeah, it's very pretty. If it was on at a restaurant, like I was going out on a date and we're at a fancy restaurant, and this was on, I'd be like, wow.
Good background music.
But if I'm sitting at home, I'm going, okay. Like, all right.
But he's born to lose. He's lived his life in pain.
Listen, he spends every song talking about how he's lost a woman and he's a loser. I know he was born to lose at this point. Oh, it's sad. It's just sad.
Poor Ray. Poor Ray.
Have some confidence, man.
Yeah, this is the end of side one, like I said. And then we start on side two with Worried Mind.
Which sounds very similar.
Sort of.
Yeah, a bunch of them are similar for sure. For me, every time a song starts with a like super heavy strings intro, I'm a little turned off. It's good. Like, it sounds nice, but they do it a few times on here, so I got bored of it.
Mm.
But yeah, as soon as Ray and everyone else comes in, I don't know. It's pretty good.
It's got a nice little piano solo.
Yeah, like halfway through.
Like 110.
Yeah.
It's very nice. I think it added a lot to the atmosphere and helped it differentiate from that last song.
Sure.
It is just another heartbreak song.
Yep.
But I think it's the perfect length for this song. Like, this song doesn't plot on too long or, you know, disappear before it has a chance to make an impact.
And then we get into It Makes No Difference Now.
Really bummer titles back to back.
Hell yeah.
Really just sad story being spun here.
It's it has more of a lounge or a big band or a jazzy sound to it than the previous one, though.
This was probably my favorite track.
Sure.
Really? Yeah. I don't like this one.
It's It's got some like nice simple drums with the horns and the piano. It's got some nice singing. That's all you need.
It's just one note and it kind of goes on for too long.
I think that this song like fits perfectly in like a New Orleans bar.
You in one though?
I would love to be.
But are you in one?
I'm not, but I would love to be. It transported me there.
There you go. That's great. I think it's just, if it was an interlude with like one or two verses,
sure.
I probably would have been like, this is great. But I'm just like, okay, it's going to keep going and going and going. For another 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. I get you.
Jamie, you got to split the difference. Do you like it?
No, I like the song.
Oh, it's just me.
He picked the album.
Yeah, I like most of this album, but you're right. A lot of it could be listened. If you listen to it all like through your headphones and like have to concentrate on it, and you're like, wow,
this is sad.
He was on a real downer, wasn't he? But then if you realize that he's covering different songs that were popular amongst, you know, people who wanted to feel bad about it.
But when you know he picked these out of 250.
Yeah.
He chose these sad songs.
Yeah.
He's like, this is what I can.
Yeah, he chose all these like ballads of unrequited love, I guess. The volume two is a little bit more upbeat, I guess. But it does something interesting where it puts the more like orchestral ones on one side of the album. And then the ones where the chorus is singing with him on the other side of the album.
Hmm.
Whereas this one more or less does a fast one, a slow one, a fast one, a slow one. And like, and like a jazzy one follows a, you know, a less jazzy one. Which is a choice, I guess. And then we get into You Win Again, which is another Hank Williams banger written in 1952.
I actually don't like the start with the backing vocals all that much. This song in general is just kind of okay. This is one of the ones on the album that I'm not crazy about too much.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I don't really have much to say either. I like the kind of call and answer verse, but nothing too crazy.
This guy's been really kicked around, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is around on the album where I was even starting to get a little sick of it.
Sure.
It was good, and I enjoyed it.
I guess this is the thing that kind of sucks the air out of a lot of the albums that we cover, is if you have to sit there and listen to like a dozen songs that have a similar tone to them, it gets tiresome. But I think if we sat and we listened to a couple of them at a time, or, you know, you listen to the album in the background, It's a little bit different.
It's a different experience. I think it's just because I listen to albums, though.
Like, a lot of the time, I'll just put on an album and listen to
it. Me too.
And if you look at the, at least when I look at my list, the top albums usually are ones that are quite dynamic the whole way through.
Yeah.
So it's like, music can be. So when it's not, it's like, okay. And maybe it's, again, just an of-the-era thing where you didn't really want to take that risk. You would just put out, you know, what people wanted because it was a bigger investment, or radio play mattered more anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, radio play is very much a thing that...
It's hard because you don't want to be too dynamic either. Like, I've disliked other albums because I'm like, this is all over the place.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Right? When you look at the Mumford & Sons third album, it's like, what the hell happened here, man? Just stick to the bluegrass. What the hell did you do?
Give the people what they want, buddy. Like,
say the line.
Yeah. So this one, I get it. This one's some real hurting music. This guy has been...
Yeah.
He's been through the mud on this one.
Old country.
I love you still. You win again.
Yeah. Yeah, his wife or whatever, or his girlfriend or whatever, has really been
mistress or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's be clear.
Careless Love. This is another single from the song. This is a popular Dixieland jazz standard, which was also popular in blues. It has no specific writer, and it dates back to the late 1800s. It's been popular in music since at least the 1920s as well.
It's extremely slow.
Yeah.
Very slow. I like the Amazing Grace section, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. But I'd probably skip it because it kind of just goes on for a while. I don't think it's bad. It's just like too long.
It's long at like 4 minutes for this album.
If you look at the list of people who have done a version of this song, I would not have time to list them all out. I think there's like 300 or 400 versions of this song.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. I like it more than You Win Again. But it goes on for too long. They could have cut at least like 20 seconds or something.
I think the song went to like number 48 or something like that. Yeah. Which is kind of interesting on multiple charts because this album doesn't really fit a defined genre. Someone called it countrypolitan, which is like a mix of the country and the city, which I thought was kind of interesting because it's more like it's country music, but it is done in a style that would be popular in a big city.
Really?
That was kind of interesting.
I don't know if this would be the song that I'd define it with that, but...
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the album in general. But
The album in general, for sure.
Yeah. I Can't Stop Loving You. I made up my mind.
Banger.
Yeah.
Great song. I actually got, like, fully mesmerized by this song. I kept replaying sections where the backing track was there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, man, there's just something about the way they're singing so high and in sync. I was like, wow, this is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's spooky.
Spoopy.
It is a little spooky. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But I really enjoyed it.
This song was originally written in 1957 by Don Gibson and has been recorded by more than 700 artists.
Jeez. Yeah, it's really nice. It's got more listens on Spotify than any of the others, but
really?
Quite a bit. Yeah.
It was number one for 5 weeks in 1962 and won the Grammy for Best Song of the Year in 1963.
I added it to a playlist after.
It's a beautiful song. Yeah.
I would. I didn't. I don't really have a playlist that this would go on. But, you know, it's something that I hope I will remember and listen to again. It's longer. It's the longest on the album, or it'd be close to, at least.
Yeah, I believe it's pretty close.
Did not mind. I just kept waiting for more of those backing tracks. I was like,
God, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
Is that the way to describe it?
I'm like, I want it sampled. I want it in something. I want to hear it again. Yeah. It's so interesting. I don't know how to define it.
It is a very well-written song, and he covers it in a way that I find interesting.
100%.
The original version is just a straight country song.
Hmm.
But the way he draws out the I Can't Stop Loving You part is very pretty.
Yeah.
Can you try to hit the high note?
No. Not today. Goodness. Not today. Not with my little cold I got going on.
Hey, good looking.
Hey, good looking.
What That's a classic. What
I say to Ploof every morning.
It's true.
I'm just so glad that it ended on a fast song.
Yeah.
It started with a fast one, ended with a fast one. I think this is the best one on the album. Maybe other than I Can't Stop Loving You. I much prefer it to the first song.
The original version by Hank Williams is also a fast one.
Yeah.
And many artists have covered this song.
Oh, yeah.
This is a country staple.
Yeah.
Gotta say, a brand new $4 to $2 bill does sound like a good time.
Yeah.
Like, I would go.
What you got cooking?
If someone came up and said, I got a brand new $4 to $2 bill, I'd be like, let's go.
Let's go.
I'll make time. I'm also glad it's a positive song instead of a negative heartbreak song.
Yeah.
Had enough of it, so.
I thought it was short and sweet and a really good way to end volume
one. And it just ends.
And strong piano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally.
He's a good piano man.
Yeah, he's,
he's a great piano man.
Overall, I really enjoyed this album. And like I said, I didn't really know much about it until I watched that documentary. And I didn't own the album until about this time last year, I believe I bought it.
How much you pay for it?
How much did I pay for it? So this is
tell us about the record.
I'll tell you about the record. You want me to tell you about the record?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you about the record. It's a double gatefold because you get volumes one and two now. You can buy them separately still, but I chose to buy it together because it's a better value. I paid $30 for a double LP.
That's pretty good
both of them. You get two albums. It is pressed in the Netherlands, but it doesn't have one of those annoying stickers on the back of it that Bell hates.
Made in Germany.
Yeah. It doesn't say anything about it. You get both albums, in two sleeves on two sides of the gatefold instead of being in one that we always complain about. I'm going to grab it. It's right behind me.
I got to say, I love the album cover. It's like him shouting in pain. I don't know what kind of face it is. He's just kind of like,
music.
It's different from the one on Apple, too. So the one on Apple Music, he's kind of like leaning back and it's like a happy kind of yell. But this one definitely looks like a pained yell.
And in the middle is the back of the original LPs in the middle of the gatefold. It's pretty nice.
Very pretty photos. Very high quality.
Great photos. Black of Ray.
Cool glasses.
You get the tracks. The track listing, and then on the back of the gatefold, you get the original album art.
Oh yeah, that's the one they have on Apple Music.
Yeah,
It also shows. I've never really put it together. The Leon Bridges "Coming Home" album cover is very similar to this one, so it's like,
similar. Yes, the link there now. Yeah, he was going for a look of that or like a Sam Cooke album, which would have been very, very popular at the time as well. Sam Cooke and Ray Charles are contemporaries, of course.
Of course,
naturally,
quite.
But I thought it's a nice package. There's not really any information inside of it. Like, there's no history of the album or anything. You kind of know what you're getting, I guess, if you bought this album. But you get both volumes. I like them. You get a couple bonus tracks on this one. I didn't tell you guys to listen to them because I don't think they add anything to it.
That's okay.
They're just other songs that were recorded at the same time. But there you go.
Very cool.
I really like it. And for $30, I think it's a decent value.
Bell, what's your verdict?
Man, Ray Charles is quite the performer. I can just imagine people going wild at his shows, and I definitely enjoyed my time listening to this while working around the house. And I even ended up listening to some of Volume 2, and I enjoyed the few songs I listened to as well. Mm-hmm. So I got to make sure to listen to more of that. Maybe surprisingly, I'm going to put this in the fifth spot underneath Sgt. Pepper's by the Beatles and above AM by Arctic Monkeys. Though there were a few songs I wasn't super engaged with while actively listening to, I had a lot of fun just putting it on and listening to it.
Yeah.
So like, even though a lot of these songs I was kind of like poo-poo on, when I wasn't listening to it, they were still very enjoyable. Yeah. I think the pace for most of these songs is quite solid, and the fast songs really are quite good. It grabs enough attention to be memorable, but not so much that it demands a room. I think it's worth checking out.
Mr. Plouf?
You know, I think it's at least an 8. Like, if it was more original, I'm not sure if it'd be higher or lower, because I haven't listened to a ton of Ray Charles. But because part of this was just a pairing of fantastic musician with some great classics, it was pretty good. And I really enjoyed it, so I'm going to go with an 8.5. It could lose maybe one or two tracks, but it's short enough that it's not a big deal. And, you know, it's just fantastic singing, some good piano that doesn't try to stand out too much, with really good backing vocals and... I don't know. I like a good country, good old classic country song. So it's good.
Yeah, I thought my review is, it's basically a 10 out of 13 to me. I don't think it's a perfect album. I think it is very good. The production values of this album are second to none for an album of its time period. I thought they put a lot of effort into the orchestration and the arrangement for the chorus and stuff like that, like the singers. I understand why it was groundbreaking. And I thought it was very interesting to read that after he recorded this album and went on tour, his audience transitioned from mostly black people to a good mix of white and black people, because he ended up getting...
What's a good mix? What percentage?
50-50.
Like 50-50, sure. Yeah. It wasn't solely... It wasn't a segregated concert anymore. Mm-hmm. It was...
Yeah.
And he recorded this album and received no loss of fans from, you know, either side. So it was an interesting... It was interesting to read that it wasn't like he solved racism or something like that, but it
didn't hurt.
Yeah, he didn't hurt anything. Yeah. So he didn't hurt racism. So I think it's interesting. I really think it's worth a listen to, and if you have time, perhaps watch the documentary series. It's very interesting learning the evolution of country music from basically people growing up in the Dust Bowl in the 30s, where they had to leave home because you couldn't grow any more food in the Midwest because of a prolonged drought. And then you go all the way up to, you know, how popular Garth Brooks is, or, you know, Taylor Swift, I guess, if you will. Anyway, what are we listening to next week, Mr. Plouffe?
Well, we all purchased an album because it came out for the 20 or 25th anniversary. And so I decided to choose it, and we are going to listen to Smash Mouth's debut album, Fush You Mang.
Fush You Mang. Hey, what else have we been listening to?
Man, so last year, 2023, if you're not aware what current year is, my Spotify Wrapped came back a little surprising. My top artist was Bob Moses.
Who the hell is Bob Moses?
I have no idea who that is.
I was also surprised. I like Bob Moses. I didn't think it would be my top artist. It's like... kind of like jungle, but darker, I guess.
So it's like funk?
It's more dark clubby. Funk. Yeah, it's like kind of, I don't know. They just have a similar vibe in the way of like this digitally produced music, but they're still a band kind of thing is more of what I'm trying to picture. And then Nick Hakim was up there, and George Clanton, of course.
Sure, of course.
George Clanton had his new album, Ooh, I Rap Ya, come out. I've still been listening. He's active listening to music.
I accidentally opened my Wrap.
Don't you hate that it plays?
Yeah, why does it start?
I just want to look at the stats.
Listen, you guys near Spotify. Apple Music Wrapped blows. Let me
sucks.
Tell you.
It sucks, dude.
But yeah, a lot of George Clanton. There was a new Yeji album as well. Listen to that. And my next pick will be in a couple weeks here, but it was also on my top albums was Disclosure's new album, Alchemy, which is a fantastic album. So a lot of electronic music this year. David Bowie was up there, obviously. Cool. Love that. Love Ziggy Stardust.
Oh, yeah. That was a big album for you.
Oh, yeah, big.
My top artist was a band from the 90s called Morphine. They're a little unknown. I had never heard of them until like the last 5 or 6 months, I think. And then I heard Buena Buena, and I was just blown away. They describe themselves as low rock, and it's... Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to describe them, but they're pretty good. I would highly recommend checking out at least Buena Buena, maybe a couple other tracks.
Luke loves Morphine.
I do. I was actually a little surprised that they were my top played artist, but yeah, I really enjoyed them. And then on the completely other end of the spectrum, well, I guess not really. It's still like late 90s, early 2000s, because there's been a few like 20th or 25th anniversary releases of certain albums. I've been listening to a lot of like old punk or ska punk from like, yeah, late 90s, early 2000s. Like Mad Caddies re-released a couple albums recently. And I've been listening to like old like Suburban Teenage Wasteland Blues and the Bouncing Souls and like, I don't know, just some older early 2000s.
I can't relate to any of those.
Yeah, yeah, I totally, yeah. I don't expect it to.
Makes sense, though.
Yeah, it sure does.
Really tracks.
Yeah.
What about you, Jamie? What have you been listening to?
I listen to all kinds of music all the time, but...
Weird flex, but okay.
Weird flex, yeah. I'm just emanating music all the time. But I've been listening to a lot of what we've covered. I've tried to listen to some more of their stuff. So, for example, we covered a Slipknot album, and I wanted to dive into that a little bit more.
That's another band that I've actually been listening to a lot. Like, the first three albums, at least, I've re-listened to quite a few times.
Sure, yeah. And then I've listened to... I got back into... We covered the Kinks, so I listened to some more of their stuff. But I bought, like, 7 different Neil Young albums this year.
Don't you already own them all?
No, I that's why I own them all now. But I bought a bunch of his live stuff. So Neil does this thing every year, or maybe multiple times a year, where he picks a concert from different periods of his career and releases it, because every one of his shows is recorded. And so he just remasters it and puts it out. So I bought a bunch of those this year. And I finally completed my Miles Davis collection.
Nice.
So I own all the Miles Davis quintet. Or quartet. Quartet? Quintet. Anyway, I own all those now. But yeah, I don't know. I got into soul music a lot this year. So we covered that Sam Cooke album. Was that beginning of last year?
I
can't remember. Anyway, I got into that, and I bought a bunch of Otis Redding albums and stuff.
Oh, nice. Otis Redding's a classic.
Yeah, he's great. And I bought a bunch of Jimi Hendrix albums.
Nice.
And I bought a bunch of Zeppelin bootlegs and stuff like that. So I've been listening to a lot of that stuff. But, you know, according to my Spotify rap, I listened to a lot of rock music this year, because that seems about right. And what else do I listen to? I don't know. This thing never moves fast enough.
Move it faster.
I listened to 613 different artists this year.
That's quite a bit.
I don't know.
I don't think I listened to 613.
It says my top artist this year was Genesis. That sounds about right. So
Genesis, interesting. Genesis. I actually wouldn't have gotten that from, I wouldn't have been my go-to guess for you. My guess for you would have been like the Wiggles or something.
Yeah, the Wiggles, sure. Yeah. The Wiggles do an excellent cover of Elephant by Tame Impala.
Oh, really? No way.
Went on this they went on this show called Like a Version.
Yeah, I love Like a Version.
Yeah, they did Elephant a couple of years ago. And it's sick.
That's how I discovered who does a Taboo with Black Balloons. Anyway, hip hop artist who covered Rage Against the Machine.
Oh yeah,
and it was really good. So I picked up his album.
Oh,
pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
Denzel Curry.
That's a legendary version.
Oh right, it's so good. I picked up his album Taboo after, and I was like, yeah, this is great. It's kind of weird, but I like it.
The King Gizzard guys are on it like 7 different.
Are they
7 different times? Not for as King Gizzard, but as all their various side projects.
Oh nice. Well, speaking of side projects. Goodbye.
Whoa.
Wow.
Vinyl Verdict also had a big year because we have our podcast wrapped. So we got to see some of the specs and growth and stuff like that. Man, we grew quite a bit. We had over 150% more streams than last year.
That's pretty good.
To be fair, we did stream a whole year instead of just half a year. But, you know, that feels pretty good. 52% more listeners. We were the top podcast for like 60 different people. And we were in the top 10 for... hundreds and hundreds, which is great.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Higher rated than last year. I can't remember what it was. I think we're at 4.8.
Something like that.
Which is...
I'll take it.
Too bad.
That's better than 4.5.
I'm just saying. And we're the second top music podcast in the DVRD, only to Nardwar.
What?
Apparently.
So, we got to take him down. Or, if you know Nardwar, invite him on the podcast.
Man.
I'm sure he has some interesting music tastes.
I had to hold in me doing the accent. I'm sure he doesn't want us, pretending to be him.
Clowning.
That's identity theft.
No, he's going to, dig into my past and then buy some record Oof. I listened to when I was 6.
I read that you liked the Wiggles.
I don't know. Hey, check a Big Red Car.
You're big that's a great Sharon song. Lois and Bram friend.
Anyways, thank you so much for listening to us in 2023. Guess what? We're here for 2024.
Yeah.
One of us will be gone by the end of the year.
Dun, 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 dun.
Who will it be? Find out by listening to every episode. Do not skip. There are secrets throughout.
Blue.
You only know what that means if you listen to the whole episode.
Good.